this morning. So a few years ago, Brother Bill and I had gone to Huntsville to a men's conference there in Huntsville, and we were walking back to the hotel. It was a few blocks away from where the convention center was. And I thought I heard somebody calling my name, but the only person in Huntsville that would know that I was there that would know me was beside me, and that was Bill. And so I said, I must not. And so I kept walking. And then I heard again, Aaron. I looked around. I didn't see anybody that I said, well, I must be. Maybe the Holy Spirit is just trying, you know, like Eli in the Old Testament, Eli and Samuel. And so I didn't think much more about it. When we got back to the hotel, went to sleep, and got up the next morning, went back to the conference. Well, a few weeks later, a fellow that I know named Damon, and I were at a meeting together. And he said, were you in Huntsville a few weeks ago? And I thought, you know, that's kind of a weird question, but yes, I was. And he said, yeah, me and my son were there too. And we saw you walking out toward the hotel, and I was hollering for you, embarrassing the snot out of my teenage son because his dad was hollering. And I said, well, you know, I heard something, but I didn't see anybody. I had asked Bill, I said, do you hear something? Did you hear somebody call my name? And he said, no. But here's the thing, when we're around a lot of people or it's noisy, we can still hear voices that we know. And we can pick out voices that we know. So, if you have a loved one that's in a choir, even all those voices mesh together, don't you hear your loved one? You say, oh, that's so-and-so. I hear them sing. Well, chances are they are singing. But the reason you hear them more than you hear the others, not because your person's singing off key and loud and sort of, it's because you're attuned to their voice and you know their voice. What we hear is impacted by what we know and who we know. And so let's take a look, beginning in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying these things. So let's hear what Jesus has to say to us. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they may hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he is a demon, or that he is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That's very interesting. I hope you'll take maybe some time and read chapter 9 of the Gospel of John this week. What happens there is Jesus heals a blind man. He was blind from birth. And there was great discussion because in the Jews' eyes, if something bad happened to you, it was because God was punishing you. Now, it may be because God's punishing you, but that's not necessarily the true. Sometimes bad things just happen because we live in a fallen and sinful world, and disease and death is a consequence of sin. And so the Jews that were there and asked Jesus, I guess trying to trap him or do something, but anyway, they said, "Who sinned? Was it this guy that sinned, so he was born blind? Or was it his parents that sinned?" Well, they had a faulty understanding. Jesus corrected it. He said, this man was blind that you might see today the power of God. And the man's sight was restored. Well, that really puzzled and perplexed them because that wasn't what they expected of Jesus to do. And that really didn't answer even the disciples' question about who's fault was it that this guy was blind. And though Jesus then turns and he gives an illustration about sheep and shepherds, a lot in the crowd didn't understand it, just like they didn't understand what Jesus was doing in healing the blind man. And so there became some discussion among the Jews. There were discussion among the disciples all about what Jesus was trying to do. But in the midst, between the end of chapter 9 and the end of chapter 10, Jesus gives us a very important reminder that tells us something about who he is. And that over the next several weeks, we're in this series that we're calling I Am, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. And last week we looked at the one at the end of the Gospel of John, in John chapter 20, the Easter story, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And today, Jesus says in John chapter 10, twice in fact, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. The shepherds were ones that were not particularly seen as the aristocrats or the idols of society in Jesus' day. Nobody was lining up to be a shepherd. It was a dirty job. It was a long job. It was a hard job. And most folks didn't want anything to do with it. And Jesus gives, he said, listen, I say to you, those that don't come into the sheepfold through the door are thieves and robbers. If someone comes into your house by a window, are they there for something good? They're not. How do we come into a house? We knock on the door. And whoever is home will answer the door maybe, and will let us in or not let us in. And so that was the job of the gatekeeper. So Jesus compared himself, and I want to point out, though, that Jesus said not just that he was the good shepherd, but he said, I am the door. And we mustn't miss that. Jesus not only was the one that led us, but Jesus was the way into a relationship with God. So Jesus, though he was not a shepherd by vocation, he was a woodworker like his father Joseph, But one that came before him, and there was a king that we say, you know, was a precursor of Jesus, and that was King David in the Old Testament. And guess, do you remember what King David was? David was a shepherd. And not a perfect king of Israel, but certainly one that did a lot of good things for the nation of Israel, and one that's called, referred to by the Bible as a man after God's own heart. And so Jesus, as he's hearing these folks, his disciples as well as the crowd, kind of murmur and ask these questions, say, you know what, I am the good shepherd, and I'm the door to the sheep pasture. And anybody that says different, you know, they say they are, they're lying. And they've not come for anything but to rob and kill and destroy. That's all Satan can do, and that's all sin does, is destroy. That's all it can do. Jesus says, I'm the opposite, though. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. So there's three different characters that I want us to look at this morning as we think about this chapter of Scripture. And first, I want us to look at the sheep. Sheep are not particularly glamorous animals. They're not particularly smart animals. They don't smell good. If you've ever been around a sheep, if you know anything about it, they stink. Even after they've just had a bath, they still smell. And you know, they're, they can't find food by themselves. They can't, if you're not careful, they can't go through running water, because if they put their head in the running water, they'll drown. And they don't know to take their head out of the running water. And so the shepherd has to lead him by still water. And that's some of the significance of Psalm 23, that great shepherd psalm of King David's. So let's talk about these sheep for just a minute. What I want us to see as we look at the sheep is the sheep follow the good shepherd. Jesus uses the analogy or the illustration of sheep to refer to his followers, to those that are right with God. And there were many in the crowds that thought they were right with God. And they had, you know, credentials, and they were members of the synagogue, and they brought offerings, they did all these different things, and thought that's what made them right with God. And Jesus says and reminds them that no, that's not the way to God. You see, the way that we come to God has never been about doing things. It's always been about humility and humbleness and coming to God with a broken and repentant heart. It's always been about faith. Paul reminds that when he talks about Father Abraham from the book of Genesis. It wasn't Abraham's goodness that made him right before God. Now, did Abraham do some right things? Yes, he did. But if you know anything at all about the story of Abraham, as much good as he did at least, if not more, that was bad. He did some boneheaded, moronic stuff. And yet, God used him. And the people, it was not, and the Jews, and still today, they lift Abraham. They see Abraham as very important. But Paul makes a big point in the book of Romans that it wasn't Abraham's goodness that made him right before God. Paul said it was Abraham's faith. And God saw Abraham's faith, and he accounted it as righteousness. And so, though we are sinners by nature and we're fallen and imperfect, God says when we have faith, God says we become his sheep. And there's one way to become one of God's sheep. And it's the same way from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And it's faith. It's not works. It's not by cleaning up our act. It's not by having pretty wool. Not by being productive or being able to give something to God. It's simply faith. Now, Paul points out this, you know, the importance of faith. James also points out the importance of faith. And he says, you know what? If you have faith, if you put your faith in trust, there's going to be some works. And those works don't save you. But those works show they're evidence of the faith that you say you have. Well, Jesus says, if you're my sheep, you're in my pasture, number one. Because he said, if you're not in this pasture and you've not come through me, if you've not come through the door that I'll open or shut, you're not a sheep. You're not of my flock. But then also, not only are we inside that pen, if you will, but also the sheep know the shepherd. And they will listen to his voice. They hear it, but they don't just hear it. They obey it. They follow it. But also, not only do they hear and follow the voice of Jesus, they see Jesus, and where he goes, they go too. And where he stays away from, guess what? They stay away from too. And so Jesus wants us to understand that if we are Jesus' sheep, we follow the Good Shepherd. We follow his example. We hear his voice. We are tuned to him. We are not perfect. We don't always smell good. We don't always look good. But we're inside the gate. And that's what matters. We often forget that, don't we? You know what? Sheep, if any of you have been, even if you're you grew up in the city, if you've at all been to the country, or you've been on a farm, or you've been to the petting zoo at the fair, there's something you know about sheep. They're stinky. Even when they're at the fair and the handler, the 4-H kids, have given their sheep a bath and, you know, combed their manes to make them look all pretty, guess what? They still stink. Thing about the fair, even the Mississippi State Fair, that'll come up in a few months, you don't have to ask anybody where the livestock barns are. You follow your nose and you'll find them. It's not hard to know where they are. But here's the thing, if we are Jesus' sheep, we are within his gate. And it reminds us there's not 50 gates. Here he says there's not two gates. He says, I've got some sheep that are not of this fold, but I've come and to make them one, and there's just going to be one flock and one shepherd. What he was talking about was the Old and the New Testaments, the Jews and Gentiles were going to be brought into one people and one family of God. And so they'll follow the Good Shepherd. And they'll hear his voice. But then secondly, I want us to see not only do the sheep follow the Good Shepherd, but the Good Shepherd stays with the sheep. Now Jesus said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the one that they get in and out by. I'm the one that lets them in. If they say they come by any other way, they are thieves and robbers that have come to destroy and divide. But I've come that they might have life. And in order for shepherds to be good shepherds, they've got to be near their sheep. And here's the thing, shepherds, as they get near their sheep, they stink a little bit because they start smelling like sheep. And in order for the sheep to know the shepherd has to be around them. He had to talk to them so that they know, they come to learn and know his voice. And that they can recognize his face. And so the good shepherd stays with them. He says, listen, I lead my sheep. Good shepherd cares for his sheep. He feeds them and makes sure they have water. In other words, their needs are met. And there's no need that you have that Jesus does not provide for. Jesus always meets our needs. Aren't you glad for that? But Jesus goes on, he says, listen, the most important thing that any of you need is salvation. And none of you can get it on your own. So I'm the good shepherd, and I will lay my life down for the sheep. He says, listen, one that is a hireling, somebody that you hire as a ranch hand, when a wolf shows up, they don't stay and fight the wolf. They run and leave the sheep vulnerable. But the one that is the good shepherd, because the sheep are his, they belong to him, he stays and fights for them and delivers them. Even to the point of laying his life down. And that's what we celebrated last week. But he reminds us here 10 chapters before the Easter story. He said, listen, I lay my life down. Nobody takes it away from me. I lay it down. And here's the thing. He says, listen, I'm the good shepherd. And because I'm the good shepherd, and because me and God the Father are one, yeah, I had the power to lay my life down, but I also had the power to reach back down and pick it back up again. And last Sunday we celebrated that, yes, Jesus died on Friday, but Sunday morning came and Jesus was not dead. He was alive. And here's the thing about the Good Shepherd is that he's still with us. He still knows us and is concerned about us, and he's working to provide for us and to protect us. He still speaks to us and leads us. He guides us. And we still have to do the work. So we have to listen and follow the shepherd and do what he tells us to do. So that shepherds are, they take their sheep to good green grass. They bring them to calm waters where they can drink. He protects them, cares for them, makes sure their needs are met, and is willing even to give his very life for those sheep. But then lastly, I want us to look not only at the sheep that follow the good shepherd and the good shepherd that stays with the sheep. I want to see something else in the story this morning. The community wonders about the good shepherd. You see, there are those around us that are outside of the gate of the good shepherd. They're not in. They're not on this side of the gate. But they're watching the gate. And they're seeing what Jesus is doing. And he's seeing what the sheep are doing. And they're saying, yeah, there's something different about this guy. And John tells his people in town quarreled about Jesus. They said, listen, this guy is a wacko nut. He's got a demon. What are we listening to him for? But then others are saying, can a demon do good things? Can a demon restore sight to a blind man? wouldn't hardly think so. And so their question, they're seeing what Jesus is doing because they're seeing the sheep and how they're behaving. Well, I want to suggest to us there's a parallel in our world today that Jesus is still a good shepherd. And he still watches over us. We are his sheep and we are called to know his voice and to follow him, to do what he says to do. But there are people all around us that are having conversations and wondering about Jesus. And the reality is, Jesus makes some pretty audacious claims, doesn't he? He didn't just say, I'm one of the many ways to heaven. He says, we're going to talk about next week, so I'll give a preview now. He said, I am the way. He said pretty much the same thing here. He says, I am the way. He had just restored sight to a man who was born blind. He'd never seen in his life. Jesus, gets some dirt, spits in it, stirs it up, puts that mud on his eyes. They wash it off. The man sees. Well, that seems a little bit unusual. It is. And so then Jesus goes on and he gives us this great sermon. He says, listen, I'm the good shepherd. I've come to give you life. And not just that you might have life, but that you might have it abundantly. And here's the thing. The people asked these questions and they heard these things and they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, I was the good shepherd. But they saw something different in his teaching, and then they referred back to what they had seen happen to the blind man in chapter 9. Is it possible that a demon could restore somebody's sight? Well, that Jesus had said in chapter 10, what do demons come to do? What does Satan come to do? Destroy and to kill and to rob. That's what Satan and evil and sin do. That's all they can do. But Jesus said, I laid my life down to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. Because it's two opposite things. And so people considered and they wondered. And I tell you that there are people all around you, in your family, in your workplace, where you shop, where you do your groceries, where you get your hair cut, where you go to the ball game, you're around people all the time that are asking questions about Jesus. They don't understand theological concepts. They probably don't own a Bible. They're probably not reading the Bible. Well, what they are seeing and what they are reading is you. And the question is, do they see something different? Do they see that though you're not perfect, like Abraham was not perfect and David was not perfect, but do they see the reflection of a Savior who is perfect? And though he had no sin, he became sin for us. That whosoever would call upon him would not perish, but rather would have everlasting life. And so I want to remind us, friends, we want to ask ourselves the question, who do you hear? Do you hear the voice of Jesus? And it's not just hearing it, like I heard Damon's voice and didn't do anything about it because I thought I was hearing things. Or do we hear it and do what Jesus tells us to do? People will find Jesus, the good shepherd, and they'll come into his gates, not because we've argued them there, not because we've guilted them there, But because we've shown them that Jesus is who he said he is, and he is good, and he is able to make a difference in our life. And listen, the reality, they can say and say, listen, if God can do something with that Aaron Baldridge wreck, I'm not near as bad as he is. If God can do something with him, then surely God can do something with me too. Our life and our testimony should be leading people to ask some of these questions about Jesus and about God. But if they never see God do anything in our life, are they going to ask any questions? They're not. If we're not following the voice of Jesus and being changed day by him, why would anybody want to give a second thought to Jesus? But they couldn't get away from this blind man. Jesus had moved on and was preaching a good sermon. But at the end of chapter 10, the people come back to the end of chapter 9. Say, yeah, Jesus said the shepherd thing. We don't really get that. But we do know was that Joe was blind and was blind from his birth. Couldn't walk, couldn't see in front of him. We know that to be true. But now he can see us. So something has changed. And some say it's a demon, he's crazy, he's mad. Don't listen to him. But then some say, well, demon couldn't give life. Couldn't give sight. And so if a demon can't do that, but Jesus did do that, then that has to logically lead us to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. There really can't be any other conclusion if we're honest and we really think about it. As we wrap up this morning, I want us to understand Jesus is not upset or worried about us not understanding his way. He is not undone when we ask questions about our faith. In fact, in order for faith to become our own, we do have to make it our own. We have to examine. We have to look around and think of other options and say, does this really match reality? And here's the thing about Jesus. If we're honest and we look at Jesus, we have to come to the conclusion he is exactly who he said he was. And this morning he says, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down that whosoever will call upon me can come into the sheep gate. He said, listen, I'm the door. I'm the gatekeeper. Not only am I the door, I'm the one that opens and closes the door. I'm the gatekeeper. And I'm the good shepherd. So this tells us we can trust him. And that's where it's at. Not our goodness, not how we look, not how we behave, but where our faith is. And where our faith is determined by what we hear. And if we can hear the things of God, that means we belong to him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you for the great reminder that you are the good shepherd. That though we stink and we're broken and we're ugly and, Lord, we don't have much to offer on our own, you come into our life and forgive us. You offer us new life. You offer us life abundantly. And, Lord, if there's one here today, or one watching this message on the internet that's never trusted in you, would you help them today to receive the greatest gift that they ever will receive? The gift of eternal life made possible by Jesus Christ laying his life down on the cross of Calvary, shedding his innocent blood, and then having the power to raise from the dead. Lord, help us as your people, those that are part of your flock and are in that door. Lord, help us remember you call us to follow you. In order to follow you, we have to be near you, we have to know you, and we have to heed your voice. We have to listen and obey. And when we do that, we find that you really are the good shepherd. As David declared in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And Lord, you are with us. You prepare a table for us. Lord, help us never forget that. Help us to be changed and let others see the change you've made in us. And Lord, help us to be able to share with them that the change that you made in us, you can make in them as well. Because nobody is beyond the touch of the Good Shepherd. But you can reach anybody. And we're so thankful for that. The good news of the gospel, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So help us, we pray, to live and to hear your voice. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand together, my friend. And can you answer the question, what do you hear? Do you hear Jesus? I hope so. If you don't, you can hear him today. Let's sing together this great hymn of invitation, "Pass Me On." Today, down on the coast, taking their grandkids home. Pray for them, ask the Lord to be with them, and pray for Sherry. Pray for Kimbrose and the Hudsons, others that have lost loved ones the last couple weeks. Lord, would be near them and give them peace. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Hope you come back and join us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for our midweek study. And let's sing our benediction hymn, and then Brother George dismiss us in prayer after we sing.